Some of you might know or suspect that I have a little addiction that I fight. I like gadgets, technology, something electronic gets my attention. It's like something shiny, and my impulse is to gravitate towards it, or at least to learn a little bit more about it. I've been moderating it quite a bit. And keep in mind, trying to use such things as to serve good, to be something that is going to draw me closer to God and, you know, help me in my disciplines and so forth. And in most cases, I think that's true. But there was one gadget that I heard of probably a couple of years ago now that I never had any inclination at all towards getting. It's called a Fitbit. Anybody have a Fitbit? I have a Fitbit. And you know, it's kind of interesting, this little band, I don't even know it's there. The Fitbit itself is rather tiny. It's only maybe an inch long or so. I got a little scared when I saw exactly how small it was, because I said, I'm going to lose this thing, or the dog is going to eat it, or something is not going to be happy. Plus, when I'm reading some of the things and they keep using the word tracker, I got a little bit paranoid. But let me tell you about what I found with my little Fitbit here. The Fitbit, at least the one that I have, cannot be used by itself. It stays on my wrist, but I have no idea what it's doing. Every so often, some lights light up. I'm not always sure what they are or what I've done yet, because it's still pretty new. But I can't really get any benefit out of this little device without my phone. I'm dependent on the phone to give me the data. Now, let me tell you a few things that this Fitbit does. It tells me things that I already knew. It tells me some things I didn't know. I knew that I can walk. Fitbit tells me how many steps, how many miles, how many calories I've burned in the process. Fitbit can tell me what kind of exercise I've been doing. Fitbit can even tell me if I've missed an hour where I haven't done at least 250 steps. So Fitbit can inflict guilt. I had one little boy tell me after Mass this morning, Father, you don't have to worry about it. You had 250 steps just giving the homily. I counted them. So it can tell me stuff that I already know. It tells me stuff that maybe I didn't know about what's going on and how active I am. But it also tells me things that I'm not doing. It can tell me if I'm not being active enough. It can tell me if I'm not burning enough calories. It can tell me if I'm not getting enough exercise, given my age, my height, my gender, everything about me. Now, I'm not just telling you this to kind of sell you on Fitbit. I'm not even sure, you know, the longevity of this thing. It's very new. But I'll tell you something. As I was reading and reflecting over this gospel, and I'd say over the last couple of weeks, because Father Michael and I, in doing this preaching series, we sat down and we really did try to hash this out. One thing became rather clear to me. The Fitbit and the iPhone, is like God and the Scripture. God's got the answers. God's got the information and wants to tell us, wants to speak to us. If we want to talk about the vine and the branches, Jesus is the vine. The branch is us. We're to bear fruit. But how do we get into that process? Now, the vine and the branches analogy is awesome, isn't it? Or we could say the tree and the branches if it's a little bit more in our own experience. But it really comes down to the vine or the tree, the trunk, is the source. That's where the roots are. That's how the nutrients come in. And coming in through that trunk, they get that, those nutrients get dispersed to the various branches. And leaves will grow. And fruit will be produced. Unless they get cut off or they don't get any nutrients. If there's a drought, if there's no water, no food, or if somebody comes by and just chops off a branch, it's game over, isn't it? There'll be no grapes, there'll be no fruit from that branch. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And yet He also says, remain in Me, stay connected to Me. And that's what I got out of that scripture, is the whole idea of connectedness. To keep ourselves rooted. The scriptures might be like the Fitbit, but the Holy Spirit is like the phone that tells me what that is saying to me. And I still have to use my mind, my intellect, to decipher it a little bit. But it's going to tell me the patterns, isn't it? Oh, you did 10,000 steps yesterday. You did 12,000 today. Way to go. There's going to be affirmation. Or it might be you did 10,000 steps yesterday. You did 3,000 today. Get off your butt. Do something. The scripture is going to affirm you, challenge you, console you. It can be all over, but don't be afraid of God's word. Because God's word is by its very nature there to build you up, to make you stronger in your faith, to make you a better disciple, to make you a better husband, wife, parent, child, brother, sister, community member, Christian, missionary, disciple. But we have to allow the Word of God to speak to us. And it's not going to speak if we keep the book closed. The Fitbit will work, but I've got to keep it charged. I've got to turn on the phone. I've got to read it. Sometimes people get so intimidated by the Bible. I don't have a degree in Scripture. I don't know all the context. Those things are helpful. But dear friends, please, please, please don't think that they're necessary. You do not have to have a PhD in English to hold a conversation. Do you? It's not a bad thing to have. It might enhance your vocabulary. It might enrich the way that you express yourself. But a little child, a little toddler, can communicate with their mother or their father. And mom and dad can talk to them. They don't have to be all that educated to get a message across and communicate. So don't ever, ever, ever think you're not smart enough, informed enough, educated enough, or anything else to allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to you or even through you. Pope Francis reminded us that in the Word of God, in the Bible, that God has spoken and given us everything we need. Now, he wasn't saying that the tradition and the teaching of the church and doctrine and dogma aren't important. But knowledge of those things is not what gets us to heaven. It's relationship. Remaining in Him. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And you know, sometimes people will sit there. I've had people say, I don't even know if I believe in God. Doesn't matter. God believes in you. You may have doubts about a parent or a relationship that you're in. Is it genuine? Is it real? Is it enriching? It doesn't mean that there can't be communication. It's not all on us of having reached some level of sophistication before we can have a heart-to-heart with the one who loved us enough to bring us into this world by creating us. You see, I really believe sometimes we get this image of God that is certainly not the God of Jesus Christ, where God is the punisher, the one filled with wrath. If anything bad happens, quick to think, what did I do? We'll say, oh, it's karma. Karma doesn't hold water. Scripture tells us it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Bad things happen to good people, and sometimes good things happen to bad people, or at least people who behave badly. It's not merit. It's not coincidence. It's somehow God works in ways that we can never imagine. Sometimes we just don't take time to explore the answers that He might be trying to give us. I challenge you to sit with that gospel again tonight, tomorrow, sometime this week. You read it, you heard it proclaimed. Let it sink in. What's God telling you? You might say, I gave up on God a long time ago. I'm here because somebody made me come tonight. Okay, you're here. It's not because they made you. God got you here for some reason. You might feel so cut off. Oh, I've been cut off from that vine a long time ago. There's no fruit growing for me. There's no leaves. I'm like the barren branch. Amazing thing that botany shows us. You can take a branch that's been cut off and you can graft it back onto the vine. And with care and nurturing, it can come back to life. Now, obviously, a botanist will tell you that has to be done pretty quickly. God doesn't have a time limit. There's no expiration. Because if Jesus Christ can be brought back from the dead, resurrected, raised, and ascended into heaven, you don't think God can bring you back to spiritual life? Take time with the Scripture. God wants to speak. And it's not necessarily going to be loud. It could be that still, small voice just whispering in your heart, maybe in your ear. But God wants to speak. Look at the words. Look at the phrases. Look at the images. You know, sometimes people they get caught up with the logic of it all. The Bible's a big, fat book, isn't it? And what does instinct tell us? If I want to read a book, where do I start reading? The beginning. Okay, that's one theory. If you do that, fine. Genesis, you'll probably do okay. Exodus, likewise. I know a lot of people who have done that, and they really stop at Leviticus. Oh my gosh, how depressing can Leviticus be? Because it's like everybody's starting to kill each other, and if you do this, you get stoned to death, and you're like, oh good Lord. Pope Francis and many others, for that matter, have said, you want to start with the gospel. Listen to the words of Jesus. And no, it doesn't have to be a race as to how quickly you can get through, or how many chapters you can read in a day, or even how many verses. Take take a little bit. You ever have the dessert tray show up after a nice dinner? Maybe you're a little full, but you say, yeah, I can still have some dessert. Do you feel the compulsion to eat the whole dessert tray? Maybe you'd like to because you said, boy, there's a lot there. You don't consume it all in one night. Say, I'll try the pie or the cake. Or as Fitbit would tell me, the fruit cup. Feast on God's word. Don't let it go by. Amen?
Amen.